simply for speaking out against the genocide in Gaza. The rally is our opportunity to raise our collective voices, demand our right to free speech, and stand with the suffering people of Palestine. On Saturday, April 5th, noon at 3rd and Pennsylvania Avenue, Northwest. Details at marchforpalestine.org. If you're unable to participate in person, WPFW will air live coverage from noon until 4 p.m. WPFW, building a better world, one broadcast at a time.
Let me say free, free!
Palestine!
Free, free!
Palestine!
Free, free!
Palestine!
Free, free!
Palestine!
Free, free!
I'm Kamaya.
I'm Amira.
I'm Kaya.
I'm Kamaya.
And you're listening to WPFW Washington.
Another man done gone. Another man done gone from the county farm. Another man done gone.
Huh? I don't know. What? I'm just going across the street.
Shut your mouth.
Oh, no. What I do?
Turn around. Put your hands behind your back. Let's go.
The jury of your peers having found you guilty. 10 years.
What?
Come on. Get that set.
I was in jail, too, man. It's cold-blooded in the jail. You go down there looking for justice. That's what you find. Just us.
Welcome to another edition of Crossroads Today. Now here's your host, Roach Brown.
Good morning, and welcome to Crossroads. We come to you every week at the same time in the same station. Excuse me. This is the first Tuesday of the month. On the first Tuesday, we come to you live from the world-famous Ben's Chili Bowl on historic U Street in Washington, D.C., and we're coming to you live from the Chili Bowl, and we have the owner, one of the owners of the Chili Bowl, joining us along with our good friend and former programmer on WPFW, been there for years, Kenny Barnes. And we're going to talk to them both about time for us to get involved in the go-go scene and some more stuff. But before we start, we open up what we call the grapevine, information that you can use, the grapevine. A judge on Wednesday ordered the Federal Bureau of Prisons to transfer two transgender women inmates back to the Federal Women's Prison after they had been sent to two men facilities. U.S. District Judge Royce Lambert in D.C. issued a preliminary injunction after the women were added and transferred to a men's prison. Lambert ordered the Federal Bureau of Prisons to immediately transfer the two women identified in court papers by pseudonyms. The women said in court papers that they were living in constant fear of sexual assault and other violence after being moved to male prisons. Male inmates repeatedly propositioned them for sex, and male officers subjected them to strip searches without female officers present. The fact that they had been already been transferred and allegedly had been already abused at their new facilities can only strengthen their claims of irreparable harm, the judge said. Ooh. More than 1,900 scientists write letters in SOS over Trump's attack on science. Members of the National Academies of Science, Engineering, and Medicine warn Americans of real danger in this moment. Boy, something. More than 1,900 members of the National Academy of Sciences, Engineering, and Medicine signed an open letter warning Americans about the danger of the Trump's administration's attack on science. The letter comes amid the administration's relentless assault on U.S. scientific institutions, which has included threats to private universities, federal grant cancellations, and ideological funding reviews, mass government layoffs. We see real danger in this moment. We hold diverse political beliefs, but we are united as researchers and wanted to protect independent scientific inquiry. We are sending this SOS to sound a clear warning. The nation's scientific enterprise is being decimated. Study. Massachusetts spends more per prison than any other state. The state spends $307,000, $468 per prisoner, which is double Vermont. The second place state withdraws to 23,000 Arkansas spends on each prisoner, from $300,000 to $200,000 to $23,000. That $300,000 they spend in Massachusetts on each per inmate can go for college, daycare, food stamps. It could go for all kinds of training. Over $250,000 per inmate is the cost to house one inmate in Massachusetts Department of Corrections. Keeping prisoners within one of its Department of Correction facilities accounts for a large chunk of the money spent per prisoner in Massachusetts, covering everything from housing, health care needs, substance use treatments, educational programming, food, clothing, toiletries, and administrative expenses. Oh, that's terrible. Over $250,000 to keep them guys incarcerated. The big business of bad prison food. A market analysis said the food service industry in the U.S. prisons and jails is worth billions and is forecasted to grow. This is a terrible situation we're in right now. Feeding incarcerated people has become big business as states and counties outsource their food service operations. The food behemoth, Aramark, which also services colleges, hospitals, and sports stadiums, as well as smaller corporations, have inked contracts in the last decade worth hundreds of millions of dollars in prisons and jails across the country. Privatization of prison food isn't a new phenomenon, but it's growing substantially. According to one market analysis, the industry was worth almost $3.2 billion in 2022 to feed somebody garbage. They spent $22 billion to feed you garbage. If we did that in the street, we'd get arrested. Law schools applications skyrocket in D.C. Law school applications this year are off the chart nationwide and in D.C. The big picture of presidential transition year changes to the LSAT exam and more attention being paid to the law. And courts are leading more people to apply to law schools, observers say. Applications to nearly 200 law schools nationwide jumped 28%. Compared with last year. Harvard University Law traditionally rose 160 to 100 students per class. The last two entering classes were among the largest in the school's history. The class of 2024 was the second largest, and the class of 2023 was the fourth largest. And that's been what we call the grapevine, information that you can use. Stay tuned to Crossroads. We come to you the first Tuesday of every month, live here from world-famous Ben Shillabo. Now, our guest this morning is none other than Kamal Ali, one of the owners of Ben Shillabo, and Kenny Barnes, who I've been knowing for a while. But Kenny is a go-go pioneer. He's been on radio here on WPFW a couple of times. And these folk are here this morning to talk about let's all get involved and Kenny's role in getting a proclamation from Congress as one of the founders of GoGo. Good morning, Kenny and Kamal.
Good morning. Good morning, Roach.
Good morning, Kenny. I can hardly hear you.
Hey.
Okay. All right. I can hear you now. And Kamal, are you there? Kamal Ali.
Good morning. I'm here. How are you?
Oh, I knew you right. I saw you were eating that half smoke, man. How you doing?
Great to be on the show. Thank you for having us, Roach.
No, thank you all, man, because we got two gentlemen here. Kenny Barnes is one of the early proponents of the go-go movement in the 70s and was a key figure during the days of the Soul Searchers, the legendary Chuck Brown fronted band that brought the genre of funk and vibe to DMV neighborhoods. Barnes and his partner, Mel Edwards, founded a proper weekend event, Friday Night Go-Go, in Palmer Park, Maryland, at a venue known as the Squad Room, which became the birthing ground of go-go music by way of Brown and the Soul Searchers. Kenny is joining us to talk about that, as well as less time for us all to get involved. And I'm telling you that we've been meeting every week here at Ben's Chili Bowl for the past almost a year, and it's been
2 years. Okay.
2 years. Bringing a variety of nonprofits together to see what we could do to combat the violence, the drugs, the drug overdoses, trying to make the city safe and get these youngsters involved. And we have both of these gentlemen here this morning. You want to start off, Kenny, and tell us about your role as one of the founders of GoGo, then we slide.
Oh, yes. Yes. Most people don't realize, folks, that GoGo began in 1970. and it began at the squad room in Palmer Park. And there was, it wasn't Chuck Brown and the Soul Searchers then. It was just the Soul Searchers. And Chuck Brown had a unique musical concept that he was playing at the Burgundy Room. So Mel Edwards and I got together and we decided to do something different. And we got the name from the Smokey Robinson record called Going to a Go-Go. So we started the Friday Night Go-Go around 1970, 1971. And for the first 7 or 8 years, the only person doing Go-Go was Chuck Brown.
Mm-hmm.
And he created this unique sound. And then, thankfully, I am the only person that has received a proclamation from Congress about beginning Go-Go at the squad room in Palmer Park, Maryland. I don't get the credit for it, but that's facts.
Go ahead, Kenny. I'm sorry. What was the last thing you just said?
I said, I don't really get the credit for it because for some reason, people don't want to go back that far. But that's facts. That can be proven. I have a video with Chuck Brown. I used to do a radio show on PFW called Spirit in Action.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the last shows that Chuck Brown did before his death was my show. And we talked about the beginning of Go-Go and how it started, because there was no such thing as Go-Go music back then. It was called cabarets. Everybody was going to cabarets.
Cabarets. What happened to cabarets? What happened to cabarets? I don't hear that word no more.
No. Go-Go, when we came up with the idea of Go-Go, everybody started calling things Go-Go. So we did the Friday night Go-Go at the squad room. It went from 12 o'clock at night to 6 o'clock in the morning. Admission was $3 before 5 and $5 after 5. And we used to have about 1,500, 2,000 people every week.
Wow.
And then we moved it to the Club Le Baron. At the Club Le Baron, we had Chuck Brown and we had what was then known, what was Trouble Funk. Yeah, it was Trouble Funk. So we moved it there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay. And Kamal Ali.
Yes, sir.
Man, I'm telling you, I take my hat off to you and Kenny. I mean, you've been anchoring this meeting, man, almost over a year and a half, and 18 months we've been meeting, haven't we?
Yes.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
You know, we started in 2023, the violence was so bad, right? Coming out of COVID and, you know, young people confused and resources down and people were just carjacking and killing. And it was just a terrible thing in 2023. And we got together and said, we have to do something.
Yeah.
We have to unite. We all have to get involved to help these youngsters see a better way ahead. And you know, but different from other people, you know, we're trying to treat the whole person and the whole family and mm-hmm. the whole community. We're not just trying to be punitive. We're not just trying to stop the crime by locking people up or these types of things. We're trying to heal the people from the woes and the problems that are plaguing our community. Everything from opioid and drug abuse to homelessness to, you know, poverty, joblessness, you know, all kinds of problems plague our community and drive these people to crime.
Yes. Yes. So what are y'all doing? Y'all been meeting every week. I've been coming in most of the meetings, but what are y'all doing specifically, Kamal, to address this problem of crime that's out of control in Washington? I won't say crime is out of control. What we can do to help make our cities safe for all of us.
Yeah. Improve the quality of life is the bottom line. Quality of life, improve the quality of education, improve the quality of the individuals, you know, change their mindsets, really. It's about changing their mindsets and showing them a better way. You know, we have an agenda of bringing people together. So we need a one-stop shopping for a directory, one-stop shopping for a resource guide. We need one plan to stop violence in the city. Not the mayor has a plan and the council has a plan and the police have a plan. You need one unified plan, you know, bringing people together so we're not operating in silos.
Yeah.
So there are a lot of people doing a lot of good work, but nobody, the right arm don't know what the left arm doing.
Yeah, what a left foot.
So bringing people together in a united vision to help our people.
You know, that's needed and it's necessary. One of the things that touches me constantly is about, let me say this. Kenny Barnes, I take my hat off to you, man. I mean, you lost your sight. You're sitting there with us. You're blind. You come to the meetings every week. You lost your son to violence on U Street, right down the street.
Yeah.
In fact, ironically, my cousin's son is the one who executed or killed Kenny's son. And it hurt me because I know Kenny. I never met his son. I never met my cousin's son and who was locked up for taking Kenny's son's life. And I told Kenny that. I agonized over, said, should I let him know? Yeah, you got to let him know. You got to be real with people, man. I've been knowing this man for over four. How long have I been knowing him? Since yesterday, ain't it?
50 years.
I just met you yesterday.
Yes, 50 years, at least.
And this guy, I'm telling you, to see somebody who's going through what he's going through, and now he's dealing with some serious health challenges. And, folk, he still come to the meetings. He still participate. He's still involved to see what he can do to resurrect and save our city. Kamala's right there with him. When I see these two gentlemen, I just take my hat off. I've been doing this work for 52 years, Kenny, since 1968. And things are getting worse and worse. But when I run into you two guys, and both of y'all are older than me, aren't you, Kenny?
No.
You're older than me, aren't you, Kamal?
No.
Oh, you're 80 what, Kamal?
That's if we deduct your incarcerated years. Then I'm definitely older than you.
Oh, that's a good answer. What are some of the organizations who are participating in what y'all are doing, Kamal, and what are they bringing to the table to see that we can make something happen in this city?
We have lots of organizations that are boots on the ground. We consider ourselves to be a coalition, and the head of the coalition that to represent people to help advocate on behalf of the smaller programs. But there are lots of programs underneath the Cruise, Mama Joe's Parent Watch. We got Juju and Juju and them with one yeah. Love. I mean, it's so many. One Flag. It's so many organizations fathers. that are doing great things. 100 Fathers with Frank Malone. Yeah, Mama Joe has Parent yeah. Watch. There are a lot of organizations under us doing all types of services. We got Dr. Chapman and Dr. Lawson working on yes. opioid abuse and mental illness. So there's so many organizations doing good work. But again, nobody's coordinating with the other one. We don't have yeah. a master calendar. And one plan coordinated with the city. We really need the city to step up and help with this unification. And we really in desperate need for funding. You know, we really yes. need the funding to make all this happen. So, yeah, that's where we are.
You know, I met Tyrone Park and I met with the chairman of the city council a month ago, Phil Mendelson. And we explained the same thing you just did, Kamal, in terms of what we need is resources and help. That's been over 5 weeks ago, and I called him four times, man, and haven't gotten a return call yet. And it's extremely frustrating. We're talking about saving lives, and we know we can save lives because we got guys, we got the boot, we got the horses, but we don't have the resources. We got over 100 men who did 20, 30, 40, some even done 50 years or more in prison, and they're ready to get involved because they can't get a job. One guy did 50 years and went down to Social Security, and they asked him, what is his employment prospects? He'd been in prison for 50 years, never had a job in his life. He's 70 years old, and they asked him, what is his employment prospects? Who in the hell gonna hire him to do what? And what can he do if he did get a job? So we need resources to deal with this. This problem has a whole lot of legs under it. Homelessness, unemployment, drug abuse, folks are committing suicide or committing crimes. And the thing we came up with, Kenny, called prison side, where men are committing suicide or doing something to get rearrested because they feel more comfortable
yeah.
and safer inside of an institution and they're having too much trouble trying to adjust. So as you said, Kamal, we need resources. We've been meeting and meeting and meeting. If the mayor can give a $500 million to the folk for the sports teams down at Capital One Arena, people, we got to do the same thing. We can make a difference. It's up to us. We ain't got to keep waiting on somebody else. It's like being bullied in school. Once you take a stand and pop that joker, he ain't bothering you no more. We got to come together to make sure because we are being rubbed out, rubbed off, and rubbed dead clean from what's going on. And Kenny,
yes.
You've been bringing resources like the Rotary Club and yeah. other organizations to the table.
Yes.
What's been the response from the Rotary Club and other groups that you've been contacting to see if they can participate and help us out?
Well, see, I'd like to add on to what Kamal was saying. The reason why we got together is that we have to realize that violence is not a legal issue. It's a public health problem. By that, I mean nobody is born violent, with very few exceptions. Children are not born violent. They are taught to become violent. And so we got together and said, it's time for us to do something. It's time for us to get involved. So Kamal and I and you and Tyrone Parker have been meeting and reaching out to the entire community. We have expertise from everybody, from Dr. Lawson to Dr. Chapman, Dr. Waldo, who is the vice president of
MedStar.
We have an excellent board that we're trying to put together. And we reach out to individuals from the community, everybody from the community, so to the greatest experts. And we need to look at this effort that we've got to get the charge from the community. And that's how we got together. Mm-hmm. And now we've grown to the standpoint where we have 70, 80 organizations collaborating with us.
70 to 80 organizations collaborating with us.
Right.
Yes.
And we have a meeting. We send out notifications. One of the things we're going to do is this month coming up, we, time for us to get involved, are going to do a town hall forum about the state of the district. That needs to be talked about. It needs to be out in the open.
When is this forum? When will this forum be? Y'all, we nailed the date down, come on.
We have not got a date yet. Okay, we haven't got the final date yet.
Okay.
But what we'll be doing at the Riggs Lamont,
Well, you know, I like to, since you've been on WPFW, you had your own show, Kenny, I like to make see if we can contact and make me work out with the station to cover this time for us all to get involved in this big rally of, that you're planning.
Yes.
And folk, don't just sit home and listen. If you see something and don't do nothing, then you're just as guilty as the person who's doing it.
That's right.
People, things are going on. Y'all, everybody can see what's happening in this country. We need your help. We're at the bottom of the deck. It's like an ant fighting an elephant. Have you ever seen an ant fight an elephant and whip him? We got to whip an elephant. And we need your help. So people, don't just sit home and just, oh, and that's so sad or sorry. Step up to the plate. Help somebody. If you can't help us, help a senior citizen. These folks are catching holy hell. My buddy Peter Green, one of the things he pushed was look out for our seniors. He had a grandmother called Aunt Peg. And every time he got on the air, he would talk about what she did and what she meant to him. And folk, we can do it ourselves. We spend over $2 trillion a year in the black community. And we have difficulty. We got people, 48 to 53 million people living in poverty. 48 million to 53 million people living in poverty. And because of these budget cuts and what the Trump administration is doing, this number is going to skyrocket. The violence is going to skyrocket. What do you see, Kamal? Because you're right here on the street at Ben's Chili Bowl. You see people coming in from all over the world coming to the Chili Bowl. And you hear conversations and you've been in contact with folks. What do you say about this?
Well, exactly. You know, you mentioned the Trump administration, and it's going to get worse before it gets better, unfortunately. You have these executive orders by Trump, and they're trying to take over D.C. They're trying to, you know, take over the police and take over to cut budgets. And now all these organizations that are doing this great work are going to start to hurt.
Yes.
Right. You're cutting services to people. You're cutting, you know, resources to the poor. So, you know, you're taking away, you know, the immigrants that are some hardworking immigrants that have been here for decades, you know, are going to be out of work. And it's the trickle down effect that's going to happen to this to the economy. You know, right now you have tons of empty storefronts on the street, you know, a lot on U Street, even more on H Street in our areas, which means no jobs. So this is really going to hit hard to a lot of people, and the reaction is going to be bad. You know, this violence touches everybody. The reason that one of the reasons we all got involved was because it's touched us personally.
Yes.
Right. Tyrone's lost a son. Kenny's lost a son. I've lost three workers and a first cousin to gun violence. You know, you've lost people to gun violence and, yes, and the prison system. So it touches everybody. And in 2023, it got so bad that now it started to really touch people outside of our communities. You know, there's a great organization called Peace for DC, started by Roger Marmet, who lost his son to a stray bullet. And this man had such compassion that he felt that not only was his son a victim, but that the shooter was also a victim.
Right.
A young man. You know, we have Tyrone Parker with Alliance of Concerned Men. He's a founder of Alliance of Concerned Men. And he and Kenny and you are doing this in your senior moments. You know, you all are still fighting a good fight, still caring and passionate for our people.
I'm a youngster. You know, I'm a youngster. Don't put me with them old timers. I'm a youngster.
Go ahead. You know, and Kenny talks a lot about what he talked about with the children, saying they're not born violent. And so he really wants to get to them early with prevention, as opposed to getting to them late with intervention. Yes. And that's a big point Kenny makes all the time, is how do we get to people early, and how do we prevent them from getting violent in the first place? And again, people aren't driven to violence. When they're doing well, it's when they're suffering, and that suffering is mental health. That suffering is fiscally suffering, with no groceries in the refrigerator and poor living conditions. That suffering is parents or themselves, you know, dealing with drugs and substance abuse. You know, there's lots of suffering that's going on that's driving these people to violence. So we have to heal, you know, holistically, the whole person and the whole community. And it's going to take everybody to get involved. Everybody has, like you said, do their part. Everybody, write a check, mentor somebody, give somebody a job, you know, give a nice hug, a comment, just care.
There you go.
Care enough to help people. That's all.
You know, I walk through the street sometime, and I may see four or five young black boys standing on the corner or walking down the street. And I will walk over to them and speak and say, "Hey, Jack, what's happening?" Speak to them. We act like we're afraid of our own kids. And folk, jobs reduce crime. Jobs save lives. With Tyrone Parker, now we had some guys from Fifth and No who wanted to turn in the guns. And they had several guns they wanted to take to the police department. If they turned the guns in, they wanted jobs. So the cops said, "We got to run a background check on the weapons, and we can't take them from y'all now." So what happened was the kids took the guns and left. 6 months later, all of them got arrested for conspiracy and different things. They took the initiative to say, "We want to stop." Man, when you talk to these guys, they want a job. Jobs reduce crime. I don't care about all this other stuff. Man, if you got a job, you ain't on the corner, and you ain't cutting up, you ain't doing no juggy boogie, you understand? So jobs help people. If you can help somebody, you can hire somebody, you can hug somebody, you can grab a senior citizen, help them. People, we've been used to this. We know how rough it is. We come through slavery, and it was rough. Slavery was worse than this. But we always managed to survive by coming together. We helped each other out. We got to do the same thing now. Trump is doing us a favor. He's forcing us to come together, whether you want to or not. For our survival, we have to come together. So in all negative situations, the sun always shines. There's something on the other side of that pain and that hurt. And if you can hold on. Last week we had our guest was Willie Jolly, the motivational speaker, to try to tell folks how to get your mind right, how to deal with this thing mentally. Folk, we can deal with it. This is WPFW 89.3 FM on your dial. We're coming to you live from the world-famous Ben's Chili Bowl on historic U Street in Washington, D.C. The phone number to call is 202-588-0893. 202-588-0893. Call in if you can help. We need folks to participate. We're talking about our next generation. And you said something about kids are not born angry. Kids are perfect. They don't have no attitudes, no hang-ups. They don't have no likes. If they like you, they just like you just because you're there. We need to have that same kind of thing. We destroy these kids with our beefs, our hang-ups, and our juggy-boogie. And the kids grow up. Now they're off the chain. Folks are afraid to approach them, afraid to talk to them. And I'm tired of coming on this show dealing with a program, and every time I turn around, they're passing a new law to stop kids or give them more time or lock them up. Punishment ain't the problem. Resources is the problem. Compassion, jobs. We need your help to help us, to help our community. And folks, if you're listening, do something. Do something. Do something. Yeah. Do something, somebody. We need help to save our cities. And this guy, Kenny, you just mentioned Kamal about Tyrone Parker. I mentioned about Kenny. This guy has walking around with a bullet still in him. And he's shaking. He's having all kinds of medical problems, physical problems. And a day don't go by, come on. I see Tyrone almost every day going to this meeting, that meeting, taking flowers to a senior citizen, going to the grave for his wife. This guy just don't stop. You don't stop, come on. Kenny don't stop. And we got non-stoppers. We got people who just won't stop. But we need your help to help us, to help our community. And that's what it's about. So the phone number to call is 202-588-0893. I already did the break, baby. We already did the break. This is WPFW 89.3 FM. Kenny,
yes.
Is there anything you want to say to the folk from the Go-Go community? Because a lot of folks are not aware that you were one of the founding fathers of Go-Go.
And some people don't want to recognize it. But it's a fact.
Why?
I don't know. I think some people want to think that Go-Go began in the 80s, which it did not. I think it began in 1970. And I think the problem may be that people thought or want to think that Go-Go had its roots in Washington, D.C., and it did not. It was in Palmer Park, Maryland, is where it began. Hmm. And a lot of people, I don't think, want that to come out. That it started in Palmer Park, even though it's a D.C. thing, and even though everybody's from D.C. and know about it. It's a video right now. If you look up Kenny Barnes and Chuck Brown, you will see Chuck Brown and I talking about how Go-Go started. And the way it started was that Chuck Brown, they were called soul searchers. And so when Mel Edwards and I
said soul searches,
they were called soul searches. They weren't called Chuck Brown. They were just called the soul searches. And we are there, even though at that time they were not the number one band. The number one band in D.C. at that time was called the Young Senators.
Yeah, the Young Senators.
But we felt that soul searches represented the sound that we wanted, because the soul searches were known as a cover group. They could take an artist, make it sound better than an artist. But what Chuck Brown would do, for example, when he was at the Burgundy Room, he would break off is the Northeast crew in the house tonight? Is the ladies in the house? He was singing that when they were at the Burgundy Room, but there was no name to it. So when he came to the squad room, he started doing that at the squad room. That's where Go-Go music really got the name of Go-Go music, from that genre. Hmm. And the people don't want to give it credit, but that's a fact. And I want to add something, too, about time for us to get involved. We are the only organization, when I say we, the time for us to get involved, that we reach out from everybody to the Rotary Club, which I'm a member. Kamal likes to tease me. Say, because I'm blind, I don't recognize as white people. From the Rotary Club to the Nation of Islam, I'm very respectful and know very well Minister Kadir. We are the only people, organization in the city that reaches as far as that, from the Rotary Club to the Nation of Islam and everybody in between. And I've got to say something as well. We have reached out to members of the city council. We have reached out to the mayor's office. Donnie Shaw and I stopped by the mayor's office about a month ago. We tried to meet with her. We want to help. We're not your enemy, Mayor Bowser. We are not your enemy. We have resources, and we wish to help you. We don't get one again ignored by you. And Mayor Bowser, another thing, you need our help more than ever now, because somebody's coming after you now.
Yes.
Donald Trump is coming after you, Mayor Bowser. You need us. Please talk to us. Please meet with us. And City Council, we have met with City Council members, and pretty much it's been a conversation. We're supposed to be doing an event with the city councilman Buck pretty soon. We met with city council member, what's his name?
Robert White.
Robert White. And so what we want to do is have a coalition. And right now we need strength. That everybody, don't think you're too little. Don't think you're by yourself. We got you. Call us. Call me personally. My number is 202-431-6646.
Please give me a number again. Give your number again, Kenny.
202-431-6646. Call me. Doesn't matter if you're by yourself or if you're a group. Please help us organize. The bigger we are, the more powerful we can become.
There you go.
And we can demand that big. We can demand.
Come on. Have you got any support from anybody in the community, man, to support what we're doing, time for us all to get involved? What organizations or businesses have stepped up to the plate, or do we need them to step up to the plate?
Yes, we do. We have not really gotten any financial support as yet. And we're looking to, we've been setting ourselves up for that support. And so we're ready to ask for that support now, you know, but I just want to reach out also and tell about some of the events that are going on that are always going on, you know. For instance, Tyrone Parker has written a book that can help stop this violence. He wrote a book called The Man, The Message, The Man, The Mission, The Message. And we're having a book signing here on April 13th. And this is a story of how he formed the Alliance of Concerned Men as a concerned citizen and helped break up some of the gang violence that's going on in Washington, D.C. We call them crews. We call them neighborhood crews, right? This is a big problem in the city, is just the rivalry of turf crews based on neighborhoods. And this was, and you know, listen, Malik Farrakhan with Ceasefire Don't Smoke the Brothers and Sisters was a pioneer in getting in between the crews, you know, in building trust and with the youngs people and going to them and saying, hey, brothers, let's get y'all together. Let's talk, meet with one side, meet with the other side, like an intervention, and go in there and say, you know, nobody really wants this violence, but, you know, it gets provoked. And next thing you know, it's on and popping and people are dying. So, you know, a big shout out to Malik Farrakhan with Ceasefires, and they have an annual picnic they've been doing for, I think, over 15, 20 years.
Yeah. Yes.
Up there at Upshur Playground every August.
Yeah.
We also have Brother Darrell Muhammad. He's got an event coming up May 24th. He's single-handedly held 6-7 concerts, free concerts to the public for Stop the Killing and his Safety Measures Matter nonprofit. And one's coming up with Mike Epps on May the 24th up in Malcolm X Park on a Saturday. So everybody's working hard, trying to do what they can to stop this violence and to get people circling around them and supporting us.
Hmm. All right. This touches me. I mean, every week we do these shows, and we leave here, and we walk out, and I see people getting shot. I see people going in ambulance, being taken to the hospital. In D.C., this is a little known fact, that D.C. is one of the leading cities in America with kids in wheelchairs. There's so many guys and women have been shot who haven't died, but they're paralyzed. And you can walk through the streets, and you see a proliferation of men and women in wheelchairs who've been shot who haven't passed away. And it's so sad. And on top of that, you get men and women walking in the streets with nothing to eat, nowhere to go, and nothing to say. And they say, man, just give me a job or something to do. We can stop this, folks. We ain't got nobody want. You mentioned about Tyrone. All of us have lost somebody. I done lost 5 people in my family to gun violence, 5 nephews and nieces and cousins. We can stop this. Nobody should run the risk of losing a loved one or a kid in their family. If we can stop it, let's stop it. But we need your help to do it. We can't do it by ourselves. As I said, I've been doing this work since 1968, and this is 2005, and we're working just as hard at this stage as we did 45 years ago. Folks, we need your help. If you could call in with some assistance or support, don't call in with no jiggy boogie, but what you want to do or can do, call in with actual resources that we need to bring this about. Because what we get out of this is a safe city. Kids not dying early at a young age. Kids not going to prison for 40, 50, 60 years for some little minuscule or miniature act. Punish them, but don't kill them. Punish them, but don't destroy our youth. They need our help, and we're trying to reach them. And if you can do something, please come by the Chili Bowl, talk to Kamal. You can call Kenny Barnes. You can call me. or you can call to the station. This is an all hands on deck situation. Do we have any phone calls, Mike? Nobody's called in yet. Well, ain't that something? This is unusual.
It is.
All right.
But you know, you made a great point, Roach, talking about our the spending power that we have, right? So if you go back to the civil rights movement, you know, this is going to be the 30th anniversary of the Million Man March this October.
Yes.
The 30th anniversary of the Million Man March. So right, and when Farrakhan, Honorable Louis Farrakhan, talked about in 1995 at the march, he talked about how far have we come as a people from 1965 when Dr. King was preaching,
yes,
to 1995, and how not much had changed in terms of our spending, in terms of where we stand in relation to white folks or to different people as far as spending and the buildup of our community. And now from 1995 to 2025, another 30 years has passed. And where have we gone? What's the progress that's been made? So we have to realign our values because, like you said, we have the power. We saw when we had the Black Lives Matter movement, a tremendous movement where people were moved. Why were they moved? Were they moved because they saw on camera white police killing black people? Okay. And we were moved. But we got to get out of our comfort zone because we go right back to comfort. We've been brainwashed so bad to be comfortable, and we too worried about our consumerism, about what shoes we got on and what car we driving and where we going out to eat and who won the damn game, you know. And so we done left the march after they stopped showing the people getting killed, and we done gone back to the club.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. You know, we have to care enough, and we have to realign our values a little bit and see how important this is, that we're really saving these children and making a movement, because we have the spending power amongst ourselves. If we were to circulate that money in our own community, which is what they have right now going on against Walmart and Target and these places because of these anti-DEI, you know, boycotts. So we need our leadership to really get together and organize and make a strategy for how we're going to do this. And so that's what Kenny and I want to be a part of. And you and Ty, we're trying to form strategies for us as a community.
Yes.
Yeah.
You know, my wife always says something. DEI stands for you didn't earn it. And you got a lot of folks over there who didn't earn it. And they've been there because of different positions or whatever. But the bottom line is, folks, we got two callers on. We'll take our first caller. Come on, caller, question or comment, please. You're on the air. Hello.
Hello.
Yes,
hello?
You're on the air.
Yo. This is your brother Carlos from BMO. This is your dear brother. I really, really appreciate your conversation. I think we are missing a central point with this war that we are facing under Trump and other white supremacists, is that we are in the midst of a slow genocide for our people, the African people. And we have to realize this, that somebody and a lot of them are out to kill us. And we've got to develop a strategy that's broader than just neighborhood type of activity. We've got to address the slow genocide that's being perpetrated against our people. And I say it from Baltimore, Washington, D.C., all around the country. We are catching hell, and we've got to address that issue as a people in many, many ways. And I hope that we get that picture.
And, you're calling from Baltimore?
Yes. And by the way, your mayor has been a lapdog for Trump, and I hope that the people see through that what she's doing in kowtowing to Trump and on every issue, rather than standing up and fighting for her people.
Okay, thank you. We appreciate your comment.
You know,
we're taking the next quick, Kenny. You want to?
We have meeting with us today, a professor from George Mason University. His name is Arthur Romero. He'll be meeting with us at our meeting today. And he's forming a coalition about researching violence in Baltimore. And he's having us join in with him. And also, I can't go further. I've got to mention the value of the Rotary Club to us trying to help. Tony Shaw is our incoming president, and we have a committee that directly deals with violence in the Rotary Club of Washington, D.C. But like I got to say to you, Brother Carlos, not only do we have to worry about Trump, we got to worry about our own kids killing each other. We have to worry about that as well. And that has to be on the front burner as well.
You know, thank you for your comments, and we appreciate you calling in. Our next caller, please, question or comment. You're on the air. Hi, question or comment, please.
Hi, my name is Lisa Brown. Hello. I go to Maryland Institute College of Art, and my thesis is based around the mass incarceration of Black women in Baltimore City. I've been emailing the station and you for about maybe a month now to try to see if I can get more people to come out to my thesis exhibition, April 25th, down at the college on North Avenue. I'll be speaking about the mass incarceration of Black women within Baltimore City. And I think it's a good time for a lot of the elders to be able to be at a place where youth are at and not the opposite. Unfortunately, they're at a new stage of technology, and we have to, which means we have to change our tactics about how we communicate with each other and how many are actually doing that, having an open heart to communicate to the new generation of people.
Okay, thank you. Kamal, you want to answer it? Respond.
Well, I'm very curious to hear about that mass incarceration of Black women in Baltimore. You know, we focus on the men in terms of incarceration. We don't hear a lot about the women. So that's a great topic for your show one day, Roach. Okay, and I'd like to say to the first caller, yeah, I'm not too worried about them, the genocide of them killing us, because they're too busy taking our money. They love our money. They've been pimping us. They've been pimping us and punking us like a bully on the playground for hundreds of years. Every day, and every day we get up, we're dumb enough to go give it to them. So what do we do? Every time we get a dollar and we go spend it, who are we spending it with?
Yes.
Everything we buy, just look at your look at the watch you got on, look at the eyeglass you got on, look at the shoes you got on, look at the pants you got on, look at the car you drove. Every dollar we spend it, we making them rich. So they're not trying to they like keeping us where we are. They like breaking up our families. My dad used to say, when they break up the family, son, guess what? Now you gotta pay the rent, your rent, and she gotta pay her rent. That's two rents they get.
Yeah.
They too busy taking our money. And we need to understand the power that we have. We are hardworking people. We're proud people. And we spend a lot of money in this country. We got to start being more intentional about what we are doing with ourselves and our spending habits. So you that's a huge thing.
Yeah.
Huge thing.
And we need to start, come on, to add on to that. We operate so much in silos, right? Well, like with our nonprofits in the city, for example, one nonprofit may not know what the other one doing. And I got to speak for churches for a moment too. You have churches in this city where one minister will not speak to another minister. Which, you know, I don't understand that at all. If you're a man of God, how can one man of God not speak to another man of God? So we got these issues to deal with as well. That's why we put this organization together. We need to have everybody involved. Everybody, we need not to operate in silos. We need to know what each other is doing, and we help each other out.
You know,
and we need more roundtable discussions, because what you're saying is everyone has to get involved, and everyone has to know their role. So if you had to say, what is the role of the Black church? Not just the Christian church, what about the Black Muslim church? Right? What is the role of those churches? What's the role of our politicians? What's the role of our influencers, like our athletes and our entertainers? What's the role of our business community? We need to have serious conversations and leadership, and we need leadership. Trust and believe, we need real leadership. They've been undermining our leadership for years. People scared to lead. People scared to lead, you know, and like you say, Kenny, we're going back to hundreds of years ago with slavery, where they've taught us to distrust one another.
Yes, yes.
You know, the crabs in the barrel mentality, right? Because that's a conditioning that they breed it into, that they, you know, condition us with. So we have to break those cycles, those mental mindsets, and we need strong leadership to lead.
You know, you hit it right on the head, Kamal. 30 years ago at the Million Man March, over 1 million black men came to Washington. And nobody got arrested. It was no shots, no assaults, no killings, no shootings. No,
why
not? One million of us came. They said, we can't get together. We got together 30 years ago. A million of us got together. And I've been harping on guys who get locked up.
From- the Million Woman Walk. Why you ain't come up with this?
Who is that? Somebody keep coming in. Who is that, Mike? Well, we did it. And one of the things that we've been saying is that when men get locked up in Washington, D.C., they close down the Lawton Prison. So all D.C. prisoners are sent to the federal system. They got 120 prisons in like 30 states. And our people get sent all over the country. But when you go to one of them prisons in Texas, Arkansas, or Seattle, Washington, and the word get out that you're from Washington, D.C., you got help. You got a grocery bag with deodorant, toothpaste, cookies, etc., and they stick together. Even though you're beefing in the street from northwest to southeast, them beefs are parked. Why can't we use that same togetherness and unity out here? And that's when I said, "But we got the resources, but we have the horses, but we don't have the resources." We got men and women who know how to use this. They've been organizing and being united inside of institutions. Now they're in the street. They can use them same techniques and principles to help us. This is what we're saying, folks. We got the resources. We got the horses, but we don't have the resources. Let's stop it. I don't want to see nobody's kid killed, shot. And you hit it on the head, Kenny. Kids are killing kids. What's wrong with that? That's something wrong with that picture.
Yeah.
We can stop it. Let's take this last caller before we get out of here. Come on, Mike. We take the last caller. You're on the air, please. Hello.
Hello.
Yes.
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yes. Come
on. Yeah, I'm David Crockett. Can you hear me now? My phone's
yes,
going.
Yes. Come on. You got it. Come on.
Yes. Yeah. So I'm calling on two parts. Number one, thank you guys for doing the great work that you're doing in the community, Kamal, Mr. Bonds, as usual. But I'm calling as a carpenter now, so we asked about resources as far as giving back to the community and everything. So one of the resources that I want to put out there for people that we are hiring, we are looking for young guys or young ladies to come into the union and participate in our trade shows.
What's your name, brother?
David Crocker.
What's your name?
David Crocker.
Okay, come on.
Brooks.
Come on.
David is our community resources.
Come on, David. Come on.
Let's get involved.
All right, so one of the things that if you guys are interested, we do power driver, carpenters, and all that. So if they want to go, it's www.tradeshowcarpenters.com. Or you can go to www.easeascarpenters.com. We located at 8510 Pennsylvania Avenue, Upper Marlboro, Maryland. The telephone number is 301-736-1696 if anybody interested for that. And also, as a community activist, a person that's outside in the community, we invite different organizations to come out to District Lab on May the 12th. 1 p.m. to 4 p.m., and we're going to talk about things affecting D.C. and Maryland with different organizations. We offering free food, free headshots, and just things to come out there and support each other. Okay. With that, thank you guys for helping us out.
Thank you.
Thank you, Dave.
We appreciate you, Dave. Our time is up. Boy, it went by rather fast. I want to thank Kamal Ali, the owner of Ben's Chili Bowl, and Kenny Barnes, both on the front line fighting, and they're committed, and their passion is strong. So if you listen to the show today, we're asking for your help. We don't want nobody jiving and no jiggy boogie. If you can do something, do it. If you can't, get out the way and stay out the way. People are dying, and we're trying to save some lives, so we need your help to save these lives. Again, our time is up. I want to thank Kenny Barnes from Roots and from it's time for us all to get involved, and my man, Kamal Ali. Man, give me a half smoke, man. With you while I'm sitting down.
Come on down. Look, come on down. Come on down April 13th for Tyrone Parker's book signing. Sunday afternoon, 3 to 6. You'll get your half smoke.
I want two. Left hand and one in the right handed half smoke.
He got you.
Thanks a lot. Kamal Ali, the owner of Ben's Chili Bowl and Kenny Barnes. We in this group we're working with called Time for Us All to Get Involved. People, please, we need your help. We're not wasting your time and don't want to waste yours. We're just trying to save somebody's kid from going through the pain that we went through. And it hurts when you lose somebody to violence. The pain never goes away. It only lessens. So nobody should go through this. So let's see what we can do to stop it. And we got the horses, but we need the resources. So if you can write a check and do whatever you do, it, do it. You can bring it to the Chili Bowl or to Roots. It doesn't matter. We need help. Thank you all for tuning in to Crossroads on the first Tuesday of every month, where we come live from the world-famous Ben's Chili Bowl. We got another show coming up in 1 hour. We're talking about the problems in the prison system in upstate New York. Thank you for tuning in, and stay on for the next hour. We got two guests in from New York City. And you can send your email to morerap@yahoo.com. Morerap, MOOREWRAP, morerap.com. Thank you. Okay, thank you. We'll see you in the next hour, the next few minutes. Thank you.
Hello, WPFW. Festival season is here. You know what that means. Good events, good music, good food, good people, good weather, and the 9th annual Words, Beats, and Life Festival happening April 3rd through the 6th all over Washington, D.C. There will be DJs, concerts, poetry slams, children's activities, and a festival. Details can be found at wblinc.org/WBLFest. Hello, WPFW. Festival season is here, and on April 6th, noon until 7.
Greetings. WPFW is pleased to announce the relaunch of our major donor program, now known as the Jazz and Justice Circle. If you gave $1,000 last year or so far this year, you are automatically enrolled in this cherished group of listener members, and we thank you. Benefits of your membership are at wpfwfm.org under the Support Us tab at the top of the homepage is the Jazz and Justice Circle. Interested in joining this select group? Please consider a donation of $1,000 or more online at wpfwfm.org. Your donation helps WPFW build a better world one broadcast at a time.
WPFW presents Still We Rise, our 48th anniversary celebration on Friday, April 25th, 7 to 11 p.m. at Martin's Crosswinds in Greenbelt. Entertainment includes Navasha Deya and more. That's Still We Rise, WPFW's 48th anniversary celebration. Details at wpfwfm.org.
To get WPFW swag in your life? Items that say, I support Jazz and Justice without saying a word. We've got you covered. Details and browsing at WPFWFM.org. Again, that's WPFWFM.org.
Are you in the process of writing or updating your will, trust, or estate plan? We invite you to consider adding WPFW as a beneficiary through a charitable bequest. Bequests can take many forms and are usually the largest and most impactful gift a donor will ever make. Your bequest will help to ensure the programming WPFW has provided for almost 50 years will continue into the future. More info available by email at PlannedGiving@WPFW.org or by phone at 202-588-0999, extension 344. Or you can let us know you've already included PFW in your plans through those same channels so we can add your name to our growing list of legacy listeners. We are listener supported. We are Jazz and Justice, and because of your support, we are WPFW.
This Saturday, tens of thousands of people are converging on Washington, D.C. in a mass demonstration demanding the freedom of Mahmoud Khalil, Mamadou Tal, and all other student and faculty victims of repression who are being rounded up, imprisoned, expelled from their schools, and possibly deported simply for speaking out against the genocide in Gaza. The rally is our opportunity to raise our collective voices, demand our right to free speech, and stand with the suffering people of Palestine. On Saturday, April 5th, noon at 3rd and Pennsylvania Avenue, Northwest. Details at marchforpalestine.org. If you're unable to participate in person, WPFW will air live coverage from noon until 4 p.m.